This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show for and by the LGBTI community. Taking you around the globe, one queer story at a time. I'm Matt, and we are live from the lands of the Bunurong people of the Kulin Nation in the magnificent Victorian Pride Centre. And tonight, I'm joined in the studio by Stefan.
Good evening.
And Andrew.
Hi.
After following Russia by introducing an anti-gay propaganda law, Hungary is again drawn the eye of the international community. Last year, Hungary's parliament passed a law making it impossible for transgender or intersex people to legally change their gender. And earlier this month, the country's constitutional court backflipped to back the law.
To find out what the passage of these anti-trans laws means in Hungary and how the LGBTIQ community is responding, tonight we're joined by Luka Duditz, Executive Board Member and Communications Officer at the Hatta Society, Hungary's oldest LGBTIQ advocacy organisation. Here's a taste of what's coming up tonight.
I think it really showed that the general sentiment towards LGBTQI people is not the same as the Hungarian government is trying to pass. So I think that was a ray of hope for a lot of people.
Viktor Orban is in his fourth term as Prime Minister of Hungary. Over the past 14 years, he has targeted the LGBTI community and other minority groups by bringing in regressive laws. Yet, at the last election, he still won in a landslide. Despite originally ruling against the laws making legal gender recognition impossible for trans people, Hungary's constitutional court this month backflipped. Aside from the personal stress it causes trans people, the ruling puts them at risk of harassment, discrimination and even violence in daily situations when they need to use identity documents. Luka Duditz is an executive board member of Hungary's longest-running LGBTIQ advocacy group, the Hatta Society. We asked Luka to give us an idea of the way LGBT rights have gone backwards under Prime Minister Viktor Orban.
It has been a rather long 13 years since Mr. Viktor Orban has come to power. Especially in the last few years, there have been several anti-LGBTQI laws passed in the Hungarian parliament. That means that legal gender recognition for trans people was banned. Then they changed adoption laws so that only married couples and only straight couples can marry in Hungary would be able to adopt. And they also amended our constitution so that it contains phrases such as the father is a man and the mother is a woman, and that children have a right to an education that is in line with their biological sex and with our constitution that is in a Christian spirit. And then later on, they launched a consumer protection procedures against a fairy tale book that contains characters from various minority groups and also LGBTQI characters. And then 2021, they amended a law that was supposed to be about the protection of children, but in the end, they banned the portrayal and, as they say, the propagation of LGBTQI topics in the media and in education and in goods and services as well. And then the European Commission actually launched an infringement procedure against this law, to which the government said that they will be conducting a referendum to show the EU that the Hungarians actually support the law. And that happened at the same time as the general elections in the spring of 2022.
Right. So quite a lot has happened against LGBTIQ people in Hungary, really, since Viktor Orban was elected. I want to go back on the EU in a little bit, but before that, so what do you think is behind that? What is behind this crusade against LGBTIQ people?
So LGBTQI people are not the first social minority group to be used as scapegoats. It was Roma people before, it was homeless people before, it was refugees and migrants. So what they are doing is Hungary is currently the most corrupt European state, and they are trying to cover that corruption and the economic issues that the country is facing, the highest inflation rate in the entirety of the continent, with attacking social minority groups, with painting them as the enemy, as someone that people should be afraid of. And they are trying to put themselves in a protector position, you know, the good patriarchal state that protects you from the unknown, from the immoral members of the society. So that is what they are trying to do. With some social minority groups, it's more effective, I think. For example, you know, a lot of the times, prejudice doesn't stem from actual hatred or any kind of malice. It is rooted in not knowing people. And majority of Hungarians don't personally know a refugee or an immigrant. So it was a lot more easier for the government to paint them as an enemy of the nation or Hungarians. On the other hand, by our counts, every second Hungarian has an LGBTQI friend or family member or colleague. So fortunately, we don't see the same malice and the same kind of passionate hatred against LGBTQI people.
So if we go back at what you mentioned on the in 2020 or 2021, I think you said the Hungarian parliament passed a law making it impossible for transgender or intersex people to legally change their gender. So how long had the law that were allowing trans people to change their gender in place before it was reversed? And what effect did the change in the law had on trans people?
So legal gender recognition was possible in Hungary for about two decades, so since the 90s, which is quite progressive when it comes to LGBTQI rights. And it was, again, a quite progressive law because it didn't require, for example, forced sterilization, but the person in question did need to divorce if they were married, and they needed a note from a specialist, a note from a psychologist, and a note from a psychiatrist. So it was basically three notes from healthcare professionals and a bit of a bureaucratic procedure. But it was possible for two decades. And when the new EU GDPR regulations were introduced, then the government put it on pause, saying that, you know, because of administrative reasons, they are not sure if they can actually receive these notes from the healthcare professionals or if they have the right to get such specific healthcare data. And then the first wave of pandemic hit Hungary. They submitted a huge omnibus bill to parliament that contained several problematic laws. And one of them was an effective ban on legal gender recognition because they changed the data that is included in your birth certificate. Before, it's a gender, and the new amendment changes it to biological sex. And their reasoning is that once biological sex is recorded, it cannot be amended. So now what this effect had on the trans community in Hungary is unfortunately, I think, very, very severe. We have had a lot of very prominent trans activists who have been active in the scene for years, leave the country as they are now unable to get the documents that they need to live in peace and in safety. So a lot of them move abroad, either to Nordic states or to Western Europe, where they can actually attain documents that are in line with the name and the gender identity that they identify with. This is actually a strain on the LGBTQI community, but also it's, you know, leaving the country is, of course, a solution to some people, but it is not available for everybody.
That's Lucha Duditz, executive board member of Hungary's Hatta Society, with us on Joy 94.9. We've heard in many countries where there've been, you know, either economic woes or corruption, that whole distraction technique of the government. Look over there, look at those crazy people, they're coming to get you. Interesting, I thought, though, that Lucha was saying that the LGBT community, because of its visibility, has not had it as bad as other groups, other minority groups, say refugees.
Yeah, and visibility, and also it's, I think it's this thing about you, the family, and I guess it's more
it's
difficult
to hate somebody if you know
if
somebody.
You know them personally. You know, it's easy to hate immigrants because, oh yes, but my neighbor is immigrant, but yeah, but he's nice. So there's always this thing, you know, it's the next door neighbor or your relative that are more likable because you know them as a person, whilst you don't know the entity.
Yeah, bad news for homeless people because I don't think they're terribly well known by the general population.
Not high. Then maybe they're next on the hit list. Mm. We've got lots more coming up with Lucha. We're going to delve more into the impacts this law will have on the daily lives of hungry people in Hungary. This is Worldwide Wave.
Love radio? Joy is now on iHeartRadio. Turn us on anywhere.
They had a society of doing in Hungary after the Constitutional Court of Hungary backflipped and allowed anti-trans laws to continue. We're talking backflips. Have you done any backflips? Any major backflips that you come to mind in life? The one that sort of came into my mind was John Howard on the GST. Was very, very much against it. And then, we'll bring that in.
Just happened.
Mm. Wonder what the process of thinking there is. I'll just change my whole ethos. The UK government has also backflipped on any number of LGBT rights. They're kind of not doing too well over there.
And Donald Trump has done any number of backflips. He's
one
human backflip.
Yes.
Hungary's LGBTIQ community was hoping the referral to the country's constitutional court of a law that makes gender recognition of trans people impossible would be able to stop the law. But in one instant, the court has taken LGBT rights back 20 years, particularly for trans people. But the battle is not yet lost, with the European Union now launching legal action against the ruling. The Hadda Society has been advocating for LGBTIQ people for over 25 years. Executive Board Member Lutz Dudit joined us to explain what the ruling means to the daily lives of trans people in Hungary.
So in 2021, there was a judge who decided to suspend the case and petition the Constitutional Court. And they argued that this new amendment that makes it impossible for trans people to get their gender legally recognized is in violation of our constitution and that it is contrary to the right to human dignity and the respect for private life. Okay. Now, we had to wait for 1.5 years for the Constitutional Court to rule on this petition. And we were very disappointed by the decision because even 5 years ago, the Constitutional Court has ruled that legal gender recognition is a constitutional right to everybody because trans people need documentation that is in line with their gender identity and the name that they use for their safety and for dignity. Because, you know, in Hungary, you have to change or you have to show your documents very, very often. When you go to the bank, when you go to the post office to get your package, even when you have to show your on public transport that you have a monthly ticket, you always have to show your ID or your passport. When you go to a job interview, when you go to get accommodation. So you have to show it very, very often. And every time trans people who don't have the documentation with their gender identity and the name that they use, every time they show it, they have to come out and they have to explain their gender identity. Now, this doesn't only put them at risk of discrimination, but also of harassment and, unfortunately, also of aggression and violence.
Is there a lot of violence against trans people in Hungary?
So my organization does a lot of research, and what we see is that trans people are especially at risk of long-term unemployment and also of harassment and being marginalized, not having a good support system, feeling very alone and isolated, and also being harassed on the street or in public transport, and not just verbally, but also sadly physically as well.
You mentioned that briefly, but I just wanted to go back in a little bit on that about society attitude towards trans people and LGBTIQ people in general. Have you seen any changes in the 14 years that Viktor Orban has been the prime minister?
So we discussed this a lot among the community and among activists as well. You know, when I ask activists who have been very active in the scene since the 80s or the 90s, they say that right now it's better to be an LGBTQI person than it was in the 90s, yeah. But it is a lot worse than it was in the 2000s. Because in the 2000s, you know, that was the time when Hungary joined the EU, mm-hmm. when our anti-discrimination laws were passed in parliament, when we got registered civil partnership. So it was an era of hope. And a lot of the times activists were consulted and, you know, the opinion was called upon. What do they think about certain amendments? There was a lot of public discussion. And since Viktor Orban has come to power, it was rather a very systematic erasure of LGBTQI people in the public eye. Public discussions, public consultations have been basically dissolved. We are not consulted anymore. So a lot of the times we think that this is just, you know, a systematic erasure that is trying to happen to kind of hide LGBTQI people in the public eye. But obviously in the year of 2023, you can't really do that, especially not when you have the internet, when you have streaming services. So a lot of people do see LGBTQI content and LGBTQI people portrayed in a positive light if they don't only watch the public television.
The official propaganda.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Now, what happened to the people that had their gender legally recognized before the bill came into effect? Has it got an effect on them?
Fortunately, no such effect. Okay. However, when the government passed the law, for at least 3 months, there was a lot of confusion because they kept making very vague statements about people who have already got their documents changed. So that also instilled a lot of fear and insecurity for trans people.
You mentioned, obviously, that there was a lot of changes when Hungary joined the EU, and you are part of the EU, so is there anything the EU is doing for trans people and LGBTIQ people rights in Hungary?
The European Commission has launched an infringement procedure against Hungary only a week after the so-called propaganda law that bans the depiction and the, as they say, the propagation of LGBTQI topics came into force. This was the swiftest that we have ever seen the Commission to act. So we in Hungary were really, really pleased with that reaction from the EU. Now, the infringement procedure is a rather bureaucratic term. For the first 1.5 years, it's basically the European Commission and the Hungarian government sending letters back to forth, trying to convince one another that well, the government is trying to convince the Commission that, you know, this law that bans the portrayal of LGBTQI people, it is not discriminatory anyway. And obviously, the Commission did not find their reasoning satisfactory. So they announced that they will be taking Hungary to the European Court of Justice. We expect this case to be a bit long because these administrative procedures are just lengthy. But we expect that in 1 or 2 years, the court will rule that this law is indeed discriminatory. And then Hungary will be probably forced to annul it or withdraw it.
Speaking from Budapest, that's Lucia Duditz from the Hatter Society with us on Joy 94.9. I don't think in Australia we quite have enough of a concept of what this simple change means, because we don't show our IDs everywhere.
Mm. But in a lot of European countries, we have. I mean, I come from France, and it's something you do quite often. You ask for ID very, very regularly, and you have legally to carry ID. I know this is different in the UK because they don't actually have an official ID document apart from a passport. You don't have to have an ID card, which you have in the majority of other European countries. It's something you just have to carry with you. You can't get out of your house with that ID because you can be stopped by the police and ask for it.
Gee. Bob Hawke tried to introduce it here in the early 1980s.
It did not go down well.
No, it was totally canned.
You can't. But as a trans person, if your ID doesn't match the way a police officer or somebody is sees you, then you're instantly on the back foot. You're instantly in trouble.
And you're constantly outed as well. You know, you don't need to be outed to a bus driver, to this guy, to anybody. You are outed without your consent in a way, because you have to give an ID to do something.
Yeah. I think the other thing that was interesting from Lucha there was that, you know, trans activists, trans people who've sort of been there for many years, it's better than it was in the 80s and 90s, but it's worse than the 2000s. Mm. So it just sort of shows that rights can be lost.
Yeah, we can't take it for granted. Yeah. It's just, I know we go on and on about this in this show, but it is something that we see in some countries.
Mm. Proof here in Hungary.
Yeah. Yeah. Coming up, that just one person can make such an incredible difference. You know, Trump did it in the US and Putin's doing it in Russia. Just one man seems to be able to change so much.
Mm. Well, he's getting the votes of the people in Hungary, so we'll see where it goes. But coming up on Joy 94.9, we find out what is next in the fight against Hungary's latest anti-LGBT laws. This is World Wide Wave.
Out, loud, proud. Joy.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchita Wurst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to World Wide Wave from Joy 94.9.
You're on the show that takes you around the globe one queer story at a time, Worldwide Wave. A special hello to everybody listening to us on podcast. You can subscribe to receive our podcasts automatically either at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or on iTunes or your favourite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave us a review.
And sometimes when we have really, really great interviews that we just can't fit everything in the show, we put up an extended podcast like we did last week. So you can really get insights that you won't hear anywhere else by subscribing to those podcasts.
The world's longest running radio show dedicated to international LGBTIQ news and current affairs. This is Worldwide Wave from Australia's Rainbow Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
We are in Hungary tonight, and local advocates in Hungary describe the anti-trans law as a major step backwards. Numerous countries have called it a violation of human rights, and the European Union is set to test the law and the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán's resolve in the international courts. But all of this takes time. Lucha Duditz is an executive board member at the Hatter Society, Hungary's oldest LGBT advocacy organisation. With multiple legal fights looking set to be drawn out over years to come, we asked Lucha what their next steps are to fight these changes.
My organisation will be taking the case to Strasbourg, to the European Court of Human Rights. And since the European Court of Human Rights has a strong practice case, when it comes to legal gender recognition, we expect that we will win because the court has recognized that the right to legal gender recognition and the right to privacy are very, very closely linked. So we do expect to win this case or these cases because it will be several that we will be taking to court. But obviously, this will be quite a strain on our administrative and our staffing resources. And, you know, the fact that it will take 4 or 5 more years, I think it's devastating because, you know, when you think about it, this law was passed in 2020 and to wait until, you know, 2028 or 2029 for a positive decision, that's 8 years. Imagine living without documents that can ensure your safety and your privacy for 8 years.
It's a lot of trauma for trans people for 8 years, a lot of discrimination and potential harm. Really.
Exactly.
What are the prospects of the current government continuing to be re-elected? Do you think it's likely?
So we had elections last spring and they actually had a major landslide win. So that's the current situation. But what I can say, which I think is quite positive, is that the referendum that I mentioned earlier, that was very anti-LGBTQI in nature, it had questions asking, do you support that children are shown media content that is harmful for their development when it comes to LGBTQI topics? Those were the kind of questions that they asked. And my organization, along with Amnesty International Hungary and 12 more civil society organizations, we campaigned for the referendum to be invalid. And it was actually invalid, with more than 20% of people voting in an invalid race, crossing the yes and the no, even though it was on the same day as the general election. So we couldn't boycott it because people were going to the polls anyway. And it's just not a good message to say, stay at home, then people will be going to the polls. I'm not saying it was a surprise, but I think it really showed that the general sentiment towards LGBTQI people is not the same as the Hungarian government is trying to pass along internationally. So I think that was a ray of hope for a lot of people. And I'm hoping that we can maintain that ray of hope for our community.
So that there is some hope that things might change, but it might take time. Lucia Didit, Executive Communications Officer at the Hatters Society, thank you very much for talking to us at World Wide Wave.
Thank you for the invitation.
It's a long-term battle, isn't it? It's not a short-term. Whilst they're fully expecting to win the cases, they've got to wait for the day in court and go through all the processes. And as I said, it's probably 4 or 5 years from now, and they've already been battling a couple of years.
Yeah. And there are no guarantees that there won't be more laws in the meantime as well.
Yeah. Sounds exhausting and expensive going through all of that.
Yeah. You'd want to have a friend in the legal profession, wouldn't you?
Mm.
I wonder too, so the referendum ploy, I guess you'd call it, but a good chance for people who are feeling disenfranchised by the government to send a message, to rally together. And, you know, even as Lucia said, it was a ray of hope.
Mm.
Did it achieve a whole lot? Maybe, maybe not. I think this was the referendum that they told the European Union they were doing, I think. So,
yeah, to be able to change the constitution to stop the propaganda. Similar laws
Russia.
Russia.
Anti-propaganda laws in Russia. So I wonder if that's a sort of a win in the weapon they were going to use to tell the European Union to go away and stop bothering us. Well, they can't use that now because it was an invalid referendum.
Hmm.
Hmm. Clever tactics, but also I think people can rally behind that sort of stuff. European Union. So over the many, many years, we've spoken both really positively and also sometimes negatively about the European Union, because when you join, and there are now three more countries wanting to join, but when you join, you've got to be selected, you've got to tick off a whole lot of criteria. And the criteria around LGBT rights and minority rights is quite strong.
Mm.
So we've seen quite a number of countries that have had to amend their laws to be much more pro-LGBT or much more equal, basically, in order to achieve European Union membership.
Good thing, but sometimes referred to as pink washing, because is a good thing, but it is something you have to do. So therefore, let's please the people in Brussels and tick all the boxes, and then
it doesn't mean it changes the culture.
Yeah, and we know. But it's this very vicious circle in the chicken and egg as well that we've talked about before, that if you change the law first, then you expect society to change, or do you wait for society to change to then change the law? So hopefully, by doing that, it changes. But then it can go back like we've seen in Hungary, we've seen in Poland.
And I think that's the next challenge for the EU, because they've, whilst you have to do these things to get your membership, once you've got the membership, you can change things. They don't seem to have a recourse if somebody takes out membership and then turns the other direction.
Well, they do, like they're doing with Hungary at the moment, through the court and saying infringement notice and all this, but it takes 4 or 5 years to. Mm. So it's such a big machine that it's not instant. I mean, and the same as joining the EU is not instant either. So I guess it's the same type of time frame, but for the people on the ground, it's time they don't have.
Mm. Yeah, if you're a trans person and you're being harassed or you can't progress forward with your transition because of these horrible laws, yes, it's a very personal outcome for the decisions that are made.
Listen live or on demand from wherever you are in the world. Stream us live on joy.org.au or subscribe on iTunes or your favourite podcast platform to World Wide Wave. receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
A big thank you to Lucha Duditz, the Executive Board Member and Communications Officer at the Hatter Society in Hungary. You can find out more about them at en.hatter.hu.
And thanks to everybody who sent us messages on Facebook, Liz, Ross, Richard, and a whole heap more. That's W3Joy on Facebook.
And behind the scenes, we need to thank...
You do behind the scenes, if you like.
Yeah, I have a little issue here. We need to thank our podcaster, Peter, and also our... We have a social media master, and that's Dean.
We'll be back next week with more Worldwide Wave.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Worldwide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. Worldwide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.